back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:02 the time. Welcome in if you're just tuning in. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Today's date is Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. And we got some more weather in the forecast. Yesterday, certainly some areas got hit very hard. Right now, 69 degrees. The high expected to be 79. But this afternoon, we could get some thunderstorms, could be strong thunderstorms. And with those thunderstorms, you know, it could bring flooding, downpours, hail, damaging wind gusts, an isolated tornado. My wife told me yesterday, she heard on the news, that Missouri was getting softball-sized hail. Could you imagine softball-sized hail? Your car's ruined, your roof's ruined. It's crazy. So more of that weather expected tonight as well, so keep an eye out for that. And then tomorrow and Thursday looks to be absolutely fantastic. Before Friday, it's rain in the forecast at about 55%. Before it looks like a very nice weekend. Again, hour two of the program brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. I'll tell you more about them in just a few moments. But it is Tuesday, and we open up every second hour on Tuesday with Humdinger's Trivia.
That's right. Humdinger's Trivia, a chance for somebody out there to win a $25 gift certificate to go on over to Humdinger's at Poplar and Massey and enjoy some of their delicious food. Of course, on Tuesdays, you can always enjoy tacos for Taco Tuesday. Just $2 each, the chicken and the fish tacos on Tuesdays over at Humdinger's. But any day is a great day to go over there and enjoy those tacos or any one of the other great things on the menu for the great grilled fish options. Sandwiches like the po' boys or the salmon sandwich, or maybe it's the grilled chicken Caesar wrap, or one of the great appetizers like their Santa Fe egg rolls or the crab cakes or the wings or the Humdinger shrimp or the crispy calamari. So many great things to choose from on the menu over at Humdinger's. Again, Tuesdays are Taco Tuesday. Monday, they do a special on the Humdinger shrimp appetizer, which is one of the more popular dishes over there. Fridays, they got the special on the crispy fish and chips. You can go to humdingersrestaurant.com and get all the information you need about the menu, about the specials, about catering, anything you need. They've got you taken care of. You just go to humdingersrestaurant.com. You can also order online on the website as well. If you can be the first to answer our trivia question correctly, you will get the $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. And you can answer via text on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255, 360-8255. And if you've won in the last 30 days, you're not eligible, and you only get one guess. So with the Rookie of the Year award being handed out yesterday, I was doing some looking around, checking out some things about rookies in NBA history. Here's the question. Oscar Robertson, when he was a rookie back in the 1960-61 season, had 26 triple-doubles as a rookie, which is just an incredible number. Other than Oscar Robertson, who has the most triple-doubles as a rookie in NBA history? Other than Oscar Robertson, who has the most triple-doubles as a rookie in NBA history? 360-8255, 360-8255. Text in those answers on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Again, first correct answer, $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. Most triple-doubles as a rookie other than Oscar Robertson.
There's an obvious one that people are going to guess. I'm not going to say it. And I know it's wrong because I could just tell by this question. He wouldn't make it that easy. So, people, if you catch my drift, you probably don't want to go in that direction because you only get one guess. So, yesterday, again, I was off yesterday, but I know the news broke after you wrapped up the show with Jay Ham. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby, who came over from the portal, or through the portal, from Cincinnati, for a reported $5 million in that transfer. Texas Tech has a lot of money. This just in, breaking news. But That's not the story, because now you can get paid. And you can have agents and all that good stuff. But you can't gamble on your team. And apparently Brendan Sorsby, as a redshirt, gambled a little bit on his former team, Cincinnati. But he's also gambled a lot with baseball and MMA. And those things, I guess, are legal. But he's obviously got an issue. And so he has entered a rehab facility as the NCAA investigates him for sports gambling. He has taken a leave of absence from the Texas Tech football program. So again, he's taking care of what he, I guess, believes, or the people around him believe, is a gambling addiction. But the other story, of course, is the NCAA and their investigation and what they could find.
Yeah, it was at Indiana that he was gambling on when he was the redshirt. He was at Indiana before his time at Cincinnati.
It was before Cincinnati?
Yeah, it was at Indiana.
Okay.
He was redshirting.
Okay.
They have a, you know, it is a pretty clear rule that if you're betting on your team, even if you are not, I believe it's even if you are, it's games you did not participate in or whatever, if you bet on games involving your team, that you're not, I mean, that's basically an immediate loss of all eligibility. Like, you are done. So this, you know, what it sounded like, it's a lot of small little bets that he was placing. Like, it wasn't like huge money bets. It was small bets here and there. And the games he was betting on there, I guess, apparently were not, obviously he was redshirting, so he was not playing in them. But I believe that the rule is pretty clear that if you're betting on your team at all, that is, you are pretty much done at that point, and there is, you are no longer eligible to play in college.
Let me read some excerpts from the story in The Athletic. Chris Vanini, friend of the show, was co-author of this story. It talked about, as you mentioned, Indiana. Yeah, I should have remembered it was Indiana, where he redshirted and then, of course, went to Cincinnati on to Texas Tech. It was in 2022. His gambling continued since then. That's the issue. That's the issue with his problem, but the bigger issue was doing it while he was redshirting at Indiana. Industry sources told The Athletic that Sorsby placed a significant number of wagers in recent years, hundreds, maybe thousands. NCAA rules allow you to do that as long as you're of legal betting age. In response to a public records request from The Athletic for items related to Sorsby, the Indiana Gaming Commission said it was withholding responsive documents because of a state law that shields the investigatory records of a law enforcement agency. Now, let's see. Betting on one's own sport involving another school could cost a player 50% of one season of eligibility. Betting more than $800 on pro sports could cost a player at least 30% of a season, with lesser penalties for a lower dollar amount. Due to confidentiality rules put in place by NCAA member schools, the NCAA will not comment on current, pending, or potential investigations. Sorsby only has the 1 year remaining. If he returns to football but is ruled ineligible by the NCAA, he could choose to enter the NFL supplemental draft, which typically takes place in July or August. Former Ohio State quarterback Terrell Pryor was selected in the 2011 supplemental draft after facing suspension by the NCAA over the Ohio State tattoo memorabilia scandal. So in other words, an NFL team may pick this guy up if he is ruled ineligible. And Sorsby is one of the guys, if you look at early mock drafts for 27, is up there in what should be a better quarterback class, at least more depth in the quarterback class. So this is, and then the money, obviously, what happens there already? Doesn't he still have the lawsuit with Cincinnati?
Yes. They actually filed, weirdly enough, yesterday, I think his lawyers filed a thing for, I think for that to be thrown out. I don't know what exactly the reasoning was or what their argument is, but I think it was to get it thrown out or something. But I know they filed some paperwork in the lawsuit yesterday as he was making the decision, I guess, to go into rehab.
So, yeah, that's what the $1 million for the leaving or whatever that is. But this is the bigger problem. If he is ruled ineligible to play, I don't know how the documents read and all that, but then he's got to get back $5 million. And now I don't think he's gotten all the $5 million, like lump sum. It's not a signing bonus, but they just won't pay him. But if they've paid out anything already, I would imagine they get that back. The problem is, if he's really addictive, that money may not be there. But he would be getting money from the NFL because he is definitely a quarterback who is going to be taken by a team. Somebody is gobbling that guy up in a supplemental draft. So it's unfortunate that he's got this issue, and hopefully time away from the program and in one of these facilities will help him, because that's first and foremost, to get rid of that addiction. And then he's going to come into money either way. If he's ruled eligible, the reports have been that he's making upwards of $5 million to play at Texas Tech. And if he can't, well, somebody from the NFL is going to sign him as in the supplemental draft. And he's going to make money, a lot of money from that. Either way, he's going to turn out okay if he could overcome this issue of gambling. And some people may listen and go, poo-poo that. No. I mean, that's an addiction, just like alcohol, just like drugs. And even though a lot of the bets, the Cincinnati Reds, like he would go to Cincinnati games when he's playing for the University of Cincinnati, he'd go to the Reds games and he would sit there and he would do live betting. And he would do it like pitch by pitch. This is going to be a ball, I guess. This is going to be a strike. I don't know how you do live betting on pitching, but I guess it's like that. And he would do it for like a buck here, $2 here, 50 cents here. But you start to add it all up. And then you talk about the problem. And then I don't know what he bet on MMA fights and all that. But the NCAA, it really, they're not worried about that. They're worried about his time. Now, some people, again, may look at it and go, he was a red shirt at Indiana. He wasn't playing. And he bet with his team, not against his team. Remember the whole Pete Rose thing? Well, did he bet against his team? Did he bet for his team? Well, it's gambling. You can't do it, period. And like you said, you can't do it, period, even if you're redshirted.
Well, because you have, obviously, information that others do not have.
Right.
Somebody that texted in said, don't you have to be 21 to gamble? Seems like that would be an issue as well. Yeah, he was not 21 at the time, obviously, when he was at Indiana as a redshirt. So I don't know.
That's true.
How much – I don't know if the NCAA cares about that, quite frankly. I don't know. I have no idea how much they care about that. Or how they look at that. But certainly the biggest issue will be the betting. If he was betting on Indiana while he was on Indiana, I believe from what their rules are, that means he is no longer eligible to play.
But to the texter's point, just out of curiosity, he's 22 years old. He was born on January 20th, 2004. So he's 22. Legal, 21. So there was probably a lot of time where he was doing that illegally. If he was doing it via a book, how did he... One thing is doing it under the table with bookies, right? They're not asking you their age. They're asking you how much. But if you were doing it with a book, how do you get away with that? I mean, I'm trying to remember how, like, we joined the books.
Use somebody else's account, I mean, name, whatever. But I don't know.
It doesn't say it was using somebody else's account.
I don't know when Indiana got legalized sports gambling.
And then with Ohio, is it legalized in the state or is it just a situation that coincides with maybe the Reds and the Guardians inside the stadium? I don't know. Every state is different that has gambling. Some don't at all. They don't have any gambling. Some have books. That's just online or on your phone. Some are apps. Some have brick and mortar. Some places have casinos. Some places don't have casinos.
Indiana, looks like Indiana got it 2019, so it was legal in the state.
Ohio, 2021 for them.
Okay.
So it would have been fully legal by the time he got to Ohio, too.
He's got two. There's two issues. There's his problem with gambling, which again, hopefully, he's being taken care of, and then there's the NCAA issues, and that right now is who knows, because they're not going to comment on it. But you think it's cut and dry?
I believe so. I don't. I think that's. I may be wrong, but I believe the. The rule is, like, if you are found to have bet on your team, you basically immediately lose your college eligibility. Now, again, maybe they've ruled something different here. I don't know. They could start, you know, there hasn't been a bunch of those cases or whatever. I don't know. But that, it seems, I get, from what I read, I believe that is the case. If they stick by that, then yes, he would not be playing at Texas Tech this year and would have to probably go the supplemental draft route, and we'll see how high of a round in the draft a team would be willing to take Brendan Sorsby in a supplemental draft.
How did this come to light? How did they get all the information? Because this goes back a long time.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what made him make the decision to go to rehab or whatever, and I mean they have your records. It ain't hard to find the records.
No, but I assume the story came out and then he decided to go to rehab. Like he.
Well, the story was that he was going to rehab. That was the story that came out.
But he had to know that they got him. They caught him. They have information on his time when he was at Indiana. Had to be, right? Because if not, why would you do that? Right?
Gotta be. Yeah, it's got to be that they got on to him, and he, I don't know if he tried to go ahead and get ahead of it and go into rehab, but he was caught somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, if nobody knew about it, and he's getting reportedly $5 million to play at Texas Tech, why would he say, oh, I got a gambling problem, you know, I gambled back in Indiana when I was, you wouldn't go into rehab now. I don't think you would. But maybe, that's why I'm thinking, like, the cat was out of the bag.
To some degree, it had to be.
And now it's like, you know, with his people, his family, maybe even his agents, like, going to rehab. You got to go to rehab.
Or they may not be telling us about an unfortunate visit he got from somebody that
right.
directed him to rehab.
A lot of things could be happening that we don't know about. But I can't imagine, I would say, like, 1 out of 100 people would do that. They would just, okay, let me sacrifice this $5 million and go into rehab, because now they're going to look at all my records and they're going to find out why I got a problem. What is the problem? What was I doing gambling-wise? And like Eli said, they have records of all that stuff. This is not illegal gambling with bookies, shady bookies in a, you know, in a little cubbyhole somewhere. This is legitimate stuff, except that he was underage at some point, again, which he got away with. And then he was doing it again, betting on his team, which he can't do, while he was a redshirt, mind you, in Indiana.
Yeah, the 2023 was the NCAA guideline written that full banishment for players who gamble in any way on their own team.
There you go. James Gaddis Jewelers, second hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, located at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4, closed on Sunday. Your family's jeweler for 60 years, your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters. Been serving Memphians and Mid-Southerners with just great service and great product. You're looking for that special engagement ring, that diamond engagement ring, head on over to James Gaddis Jewelers. All their diamonds are independently graded and certified. They know there's a lot of competition, so they make sure they have a price point to suit everyone's budget. Both the natural earth diamonds and the lab-grown diamonds, which seems to be a hot item right now, beautiful as well. Great value, great customer service, great reviews. Check them out. The staff is second to none, and they have all your jewelry taken care of, from watches to necklaces to bracelets to earrings to pendants, one-of-a-kind estate and vintage jewelry. James Gaddis Jewelers. Go visit James and the gang. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, 4900 Poplar, right between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com.
We do have a winner in our Humdinger's trivia. We had a few correct answers, and one was a little quicker than the others, so we do not need a tiebreaker here. The question again was Oscar Robertson, with 26 triple-doubles in his rookie season, far and away the most by a rookie, but who, other than Oscar Robertson, has the most triple-doubles as a rookie in NBA history? Was Magic the one you were talking about?
No, I was thinking Russell Westbrook.
He's not even up there.
Not as a rookie, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What I was telling people was don't be quick on the trigger to put Russell Westbrook.
And a couple of guys did.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, because that's like an obvious one to me.
Right.
Who was it?
I would have thought you were talking about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was certainly the most popular answer. Magic had 7 in his rookie year. Luka Doncic had 8 his rookie year. Mm-hmm. But the second all-time with 12 as a rookie is Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
I actually remember that.
Boy, did that career fizzle. Yeah. By the way, what did Jokic have? Probably not much in his first year.
Not the first year.
Then he became a triple-double machine. Right. All right, congratulations to our winner. You will be notified when we come back. We're talking soccer with Kerry Talley. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Very superstitious. Writings on the wall.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:28 is the time. Halfway home on this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. We've talked a lot of Tigers recruiting and NBA playoffs. We talked about the Brendan Sorsby situation here a moment ago. And coming up in hour 3, golf talk with Mickey Barker and Bruno Straka. Then Kyle Petty, former NASCAR driver, broadcaster, will join us. But right now it is time to talk soccer. I know it was depressing for our local soccer fans when Memphis 901 FC folded tent and left. And it was a bad situation all around. But a couple of years later, there is a new soccer team. They'll play in the USL, but the USL League 2. And they'll be called not Memphis 901 FC, but Memphis Football Club, Memphis FC. And we are very pleased to be joined by one of the owners of the team, a guy who's very familiar to soccer fans in this area, Kerry Talley, who played in the MLS, won a cup with the DC United. The former North Carolina standout has been part of the soccer community for years and years with his brother Clark and some others. And it's really nice to have soccer back, Kerry. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us how this all turned out. I know, like I said, there's a lot of soccer fans out there, and they were upset that Memphis 901 FC, like I said, left. And then it's been a couple of years, but how did the process take place for you to be able to bring in a new soccer team?
It was just us kind of sitting around one day, and we were bummed as well when 901 had to leave. But, we wanted to really try and bring back the name of a club that was around in the 90s that, gave guys like myself and my brother and quite a few people in this community an opportunity. Because back in the 90s, when Memphis Football Club was brought to fruition by Richard Boot, we had guys that were playing in colleges. My club team, specifically, we had 5 players from 20 minutes, vicinity within each other that went and played in Major League Soccer.
Wow.
And went on to play with the U.S. national team and things like that. So there was something in the water back in Memphis and in the 90s. And so it was like, hey, let's try and reimagine this. And we had this opportunity to come up with USL 2. We said, this would be a great opportunity. And plus, we want to give kids in Memphis that have grown up here, the people that know kids in Memphis, we want to give them an opportunity. And so that's what we set out to do.
So tell us a little bit about the league, USL League 2. How many teams? What's the setup of this league?
So currently in our division, we have 7 teams, and it's within about a 6-hour radius of us. But there's 140 USL 2 teams around the country.
Wow.
And really, this is an opportunity for guys that it's a pathway to pro for them to go into potentially to be seen, to go into potentially the USL 1 or the USL Championship or potentially even the MLS. So, you know, a good buddy of mine, Tim Van Horn, he said,
yes,
these are guys that you know that want to go pro. And that's what we're trying to do here is give an opportunity to these kids to be seen during the summer that are from Memphis and really give them an opportunity out here.
So is it strictly amateur or is it semi-pro? And like you said, it's local connections, I guess, with all these teams. They're looking at the local talent.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams are not actually looking at the local talent. They're it's, you know, I guess I would, you know, for the audience, kind of compare it to summer league baseball out there, you know. So it is amateur. These kids are in college. But we do have players that are in the team that have gone away and potentially played pro in other countries,
mm-hmm.
But have come back to Memphis and are still trying to look to find their way in the United States. And so I think really the setup is however you want it to be in every market, but we have chosen, and I think we're really one of the only markets that has chosen to go with just mainstream local talent.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah, we may take our licks a little bit, but hey, we're going to learn through this process. And more than anything, hey, we are here to give these kids an opportunity from Memphis. And instead of shipping them away and going to other places, hey, showcase your talents here in front of your peers. Come back and play in front of your friends and family. So, yeah.
So so kids who are currently in college would be able to play in this league?
Yes. It's mainly college players. And, you know, you get up into the 25, the 26, the 27-year-old guys that are still trying to potentially get into that next step. But what we've done is we've kept it mainly college kids, and then we're actually bringing in a lot of younger players as well that we're going to have train and at least give opportunities to, hey, try and squeak into the team and prove your worth here. But along the lines, like over the next few years, these are kids that we want to be able to get experience, and then the next few years as they go to college and they're playing in their college teams to come back. And we've already given them a little bit of a taste of what it's like to play with college kids. And now they've got that experience, and we just keep bringing them through.
Kerry Talley joining us, a longtime MLS standout and part of the ownership team that has brought in Memphis FC. They'll play in the USL League 2. They'll play at Mike Rose Soccer Complex. Speaking of that, the opener is the 16th at Mike Rose, I believe, and how long does the series or does the season run, and how many games are we looking at?
So, actually, the first game's the 16th. That's down in Louisiana.
Okay, so it's away. All right.
Yep, and so that's an away match, and then we come back and we play on the 28th and the 30th are the first two matches for us at home, and so we've got six home, six away, and so by mid July, that's when the playoffs start coming in, and you know, hey, that's the goal is to make it there. Hey, it's the first year. We'll see how things
right.
go. And more than anything, we want it to be, you know, my father, he started Mike Rose Soccer Complex. And so this is a really special thing for my family, for us to have something like this where people can come out, continue to come to the stadium and see guys that they know. And so, hey, we want it to be a good experience for the community, for families, and we want it to be a great environment and something that's not going to hurt the pocketbook when people come out to have a good game day experience.
So have you already had, like, your tryouts and all that? Like, do you have your roster set at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had two trial dates in the winter, over the winter. So when guys were coming back for college break, we were able to take a look at guys. And then we've gotten video from guys, you know, that have said, hey, I'd love the opportunity. And they sent us video. We've talked to their college coaches. And so it's been a process since probably November for us to really take a look at these guys. And now we're actually going to get them in because college seasons are ending. And we'll get them in probably, I think a lot of guys will be coming in around the 6th or 7th, and then our first day of training will be on the 8th. So it's a quick turnaround.
So are you involved in the coaching and development as well as being part of the ownership team?
No, I'm not going to be coaching on the sidelines. We actually hired a guy, Daniel Reidenhauer is his name. He's been in Division I soccer for about the last 15 to 20 years. But most of all, again, sticking with our theme of, hey, we want to be a Memphis team. We want people in Memphis, like, this is your spot, right? And so he had stepped away from his team that he was coaching at Winthrop in North Carolina.
Sure.
And I said, hey, we'd love to have you this summer if you could come coach the team. You're from here. He was one of the first, he was part of one of the first teams in this club back in 1991. And, you know, we can't think of a better fit for somebody to come and do this. So Daniel agreed to come back and be part of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been great because he's had, we've had some team meetings. We've had three or four calls with the guys just talking about, hey, what the club's going to mean to, what it should mean to us. And, you know, my thing with when I watch teams here in the United States now, it's different from when I grew up watching teams. So I loved Memphis State basketball, even though I went to University of North Carolina.
Right.
I loved Memphis State because there were so many guys from Memphis. And like, hey, I know those. I remember seeing those guys in high school or you know, going to a gym because, hey, these two guys were playing. And I loved that. Well, now you don't see that anymore. And so we want to bring guys in and say, hey, look, you know, put this jersey on and we want you to play for the city, right? We want you to play for your hometown. We want you to have a bit of a chip on your shoulder. We want to see you as the Memphis in them, right? And and because that's how guys like, I feel like I played. I feel like guys like Ross Polly, Johnny Walker, Richard Mulrooney, Tony Kuhn, these guys that all went off to play pro. That's kind of how we were, and that's how we played. We were proud to represent our city, and everybody that we played with knew, like, that guy is from Memphis because he talks about it all the time. And, yeah, these guys, they kind of have a bit of an edge to them, or, yeah, you can kind of tell. And so that's what we've talked about in coming back and playing, and it's different when you play for your city rather than just going and saying, hey, well, I'm just going to go and play for a team. No, you're coming back to represent a group and represent a community, and we're going to ask for you to play that way.
Well, I think that's great. I came here and started television in 95, and I remember the onslaught of soccer players that this area produced, and my son was part of that program that went on to play Christian Brothers and playing football as well. But I covered you. I covered the Paulies. Mulrooney, all these guys. And it was just a real nice run of terrific players. And then it seemed like it was a dry spell for a long time, or at least we didn't hear much about it. And then, of course, with 901 FC, it was really, really nice. And then, unfortunately, the whole thing of using the stadium that the Redbirds used in it got into a financial problem, and they left. But I'm glad you're able to bring these guys. I think Mike Rose, I just think it's the perfect area out there in the suburbs. There's a lot of soccer moms out there. I just think it'll be fantastic. And people to get their fix of soccer, they'll be able to do that. What have you had to do with anything to the – I assume you're using the little stadium part of the Mike Rose Soccer Complex, because I haven't been out there in years and years, Kerry. But is there anything you've had to do to change, or is it just the way it is?
No, it's the way it is. So we have a seating capacity of 2,500 people out here. And I honestly think for the first game we're gonna exceed that.
I think so too.
That's what we're looking to do. And so it's still the same as when, you know, my dad, you know, brought forth this facility, and ultimately in 2000 we built he was able to get the stadium built, and so nothing's changed here. And I think it's going to be a great environment. Yes, we are out in the suburbs, like you say, but you know, we want to be a team of this city, not
sure,
this little, you know, corridor out here on 385. We want We want folks from Bartlett, Millington, you know, Midtown, everywhere, every community. And that's some of the things that we're going to be doing also, is trying to get these guys out, because I feel like a lot of athletes these days, you know, they're not in the community as much. And, you know, they're not as accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always loved about, you know, trying to go to games, or heck, even the Memphis Americans. I couldn't wait for the game to be over so I could go and, like, try and give the guys a high five, or, you know, get my picture with a guy like Tony Carbignani, right, or something. Right. And so those, that for me was very impressionable. And so these are things that I think athletes, we can't forget about these things. And you know, like, there's other people around that help you get to the stages that you want to, and you have to be appreciative of that. And so we're going to be having these guys, when they're coming back, we've said, hey, you're going to be getting into the community. We're going to be sending you to schools as soon as you get back. We're going to be having you at places, and we want you to talk to people. We want you to see the kids. We want you to be around, and that's what we're going to ask of you. And so we're trying to do things a little bit differently in this community, or in this team, and ask that it be a community team, and ask that they all buy into it.
Makes sense. Last thing for you. World Cup, we're hosting. North America, the team from the United States, it's been a long time, Kerry. What does it look like? I know I've seen some of these results with the friendlies, and a lot of it's bad. Hopefully, they'll be able to put on a decent show for the home folk. But what are our chances, and why does it continue to be a struggle?
Ooh, man, I don't think we have enough time for that one, in my opinion.
Give me the abbreviated edition.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. When I played in MLS, we were 60% domestic players in that league. And, you know, from 98 to 2014, I think we had a really good run of World Cups. But the league was 60%. Now, MLS is less than 10%.
Wow.
American players. And so if you look at it, there's not a ton of American guys playing after the college age, 18 to 22, which is a really, really important age, in my opinion. And what you had is a bunch of guys in MLS that were able to grind out victories and go, and they were playing consistently 30, 40 games a season. And then you mix those guys with the guys that had gone over to Europe, and they had played over there in bigger clubs, and you put together a really good team of guys that are like grunts and ready to go. And then you bring over kind of the higher paid players, and it's a great mix. Now you don't really have that. Like, you know, we go into qualifying, and you go down to El Salvador and you play, and it's rained 4 inches and the grass is 3 inches tall. You don't need the guys in Europe coming over to play in that game. Mm-hmm. You need guys that are going to grind and ready to fight and ready to play in humid environments, right? Because MLS was a summer, it went all the way through the summer, and you're playing in games that are 110 degrees. Guys coming from Europe don't want to play in that game. They want no part of that. They're playing in 60 degrees. And now, you know, we don't really have that as much, where the guys from MLS, in my opinion, are playing in the national team as much, or mainly comprised of it. And so I think that's hurt us a little bit personally, and I'd like to see the league help with that, but they're in the entertainment business, and, you know, they don't. Mm-hmm. U.S. soccer and MLS are two different entities. And so will that ever happen? I don't know. But I think that would be a huge help this summer. I think, look, I'm going to back our guys wholeheartedly. I want them to do well. I watch every game, and I really think that we're poised with the ages of a lot of the guys like that we have, a lot of our special players, you know, and I think they're under a lot of pressure, but I think that these guys, they have a good mentality about them, and I think that they'll come out, and I think they'll, in my opinion, I think we'll get to a knockout round. Well, I think we'll get nice out of our group here.
That would be nice. Put on a show to see the Americans do well. That's the hope of all of us. And the hope is that your team succeeds as well. I think it's going to do fantastic. It's Memphis FC, USL League Two. Again, their opener on the road in Louisiana is May 16th. And, Kerry, how can people get information, tickets, things of that nature?
Yeah, so, you know, you can go to our website, gomfc.com, and pick up single game tickets there. You can also, you know, pick up your season passes still, if that's something that you'd like to do. So simply just go into the website.
All right, listen, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a while. We appreciate it, and best of luck with everything.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, sorry, Kerry. Didn't mean to cut you off right there. Kerry Talley, the former MLS standout, MLS Cup winner with the DC United way back in 1999, former North Carolina standout as well, and now part of the ownership group of Memphis FC. They'll play in the USL League 2. We'll take a break, come back with our final segment here in hour number two. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
56 mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever.
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So I didn't watch the game or see the play, but I was reading during the break about Mason Miller's scoreless inning streak ending after one of the worst calls you'll ever see, according to Ryan Phillips, who penned this story. Mason Miller, the Padres closer, had not given up an earned run since August 5th of last year. 34 and two-thirds innings without giving up an earned run, and he gave it up, they say, after the umpire blew a fair or foul call. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you watch this?
I did not. I gave up on the Cubs before that situation happened.
They say that there was a slow roller hit by Matt Shaw, and it was up the first baseline. Ty France was manning the position for San Diego, so he allowed it to roll, foul, picked it up. Merzel came over and ruled it fair. But he picked it up. It was obviously a foul ball. So he blew that. I guess you can't look at that. And then even after the protest, it was not overturned. For whatever reason, they said shocking decision that he didn't overturn the call, and they ended up giving up the runs. And he gives up two. I think the Padres still won the game, but. And I don't know why Mason Miller's in there at 9-5, but went ahead and lost the streak at 34 and two-thirds.
At least the Cubs got that going for him. They scored on him.
Yeah, which again, they say shouldn't have happened.
So I was just looking at this. I didn't know this. Angel Reese used to date Jalen Duren. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
now she's rocking with Wendell Carter, right?
And she posted the picture from him getting dunked on last night on her social media.
She's painted just like the
ruthless.
Fellas.
That is let the man die in peace, for goodness sake.
Hey, she's painted just like the fellas because Ant was trolling her about a picture that she took last year at the McDonald's All-American game where she was standing in for a player in the dunk contest who jumped over. And he said something about her, and she was like, "That's okay because I look better than all your baby mamas."
I mean, it wasn't even Wendell Carter dunking on. Anyone that goes, "Well, you're posting, let your ex be. Let him get dunked on in peace."
The women are petty, Eli.
I mean, goodness gracious. Bad enough when Jamal Cain just absolutely destroys you. You don't need to be reminded of it by your ex.
Then I saw over the weekend, I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but Klay Thompson got dumped by Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh,
see
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
What happened there?
He cheated on her.
Well, he cheated on her?
She says he cheated on her.
Here's,
right?
Here's the thing with that, fellas. For Megan to make that assessment, everything, her record isn't clean either. But not just with Klay, but just her past in general. And it's not like a distant past. We're talking like last 2-3 years type stuff.
Well, yeah, so. But all I would care about is
so
what
she recognizes it.
Yes, yes.
Game recognizes game.
Yes, but exactly, I would only be worried about if I was Clay Thompson. Like, did it happen during his time with her? What happened in the past is the past.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's like, she wasn't innocent even with me.
So she did it, I did it, yeah. And then she dumped him, making a big deal.
You know, Clay's a 15-season bachelor in the NBA. I mean, what do we expect? You know?
I guess there were some rumors that it was like there was a WNBA player, but she came out and said that's not true.
You know, that was Dee Brown's daughter, Lexi Brown. And she's like, no, that's not true. She's getting ready to play in the season. She's getting, you know, right, on her season grind. But that whole thing is just, it's comedy.
There's too much of that crap going on, by the way, with the WNBA. They're getting into, is it Paige Becker's personal life?
Right.
Who
and
cares?
They shut that down yesterday.
Yeah,
who cares, man?
Let them go out there and play basketball. Speaking of basketball, Jeff Borzello's way too early top 25 for next season. And you would imagine the same cast of characters. A number of these teams that I will mention have a lot of talent that's back. Florida being number one, Duke, Michigan, Illinois, UConn. That's your top five. John Calipari at it again, number six for Arkansas, putting together a great recruiting class. Texas, Alabama, Michigan State, Arizona, and then Tennessee right after Arizona, right outside the top 10. They are number 11. And again, we talked about it earlier with Rick Barnes, what he's doing. Houston, Vanderbilt at 13. USC and Louisville, and I wonder when he put this out. It may have been before the news of, is it Tanner Tyson? Who's the little point guard for Vanderbilt? Who's going to the draft?
Tyler Tanner.
Oh, Tyler Tanner, yeah.
Tyler Tanner going into the draft. I mean, Vanderbilt would be number 13. That's a big loss right there. So they must be doing all right as far as the portal is concerned and the recruiting is concerned in general. As we mentioned to open up the show, if you missed this yesterday, Memphis has its point guard, a commitment from Northwestern transfer point guard Jaden Reed, who played his first 2 years at South Florida. So there's the Penny familiarity with Jaden Reed, 5'10 senior from Westbury, New York. And also they got a scorer and an athlete in Luke Almodovar from SEMO. Played 1 year at Southeastern Missouri State after playing for an NAIA school in Indiana, St. Francis. The two newest commitments for the University of Memphis. And if I'm scoring this correctly, it's 10. Or adding it up correctly, it's 10 players. They can go max 15, and they're in on a number of other players, but they have to address the bigs, which right now has got to be priority number one on their list. Hey, everybody. Ready to see the USA in a new All-Star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it all right here in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, Suburban with a third row seat, new Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings, financing as low as 1.9%. You can go big with a new HD Silverado, make no payment for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. And military, first responders, you know by now, you get an extra $500 bonus at All-Star Chevrolet and Olive Branch. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and your business. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, they're right there. Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, Corvettes, they're all right there for you to test drive. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star Chevy and Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event. It's going on now in Olive Branch, but it's winding down. Check out the great folks at All-Star Chevrolet and Olive Branch or online at allstarautogroup.com. Hour three on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at Sports 56.